Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram. He joins us on the local beat, which is brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers, located on Broad Street right across from the hospital. Vandermark Jewelers is a trusted name in jewelry. Stop by and you'll see why. Dave, how are you, my friend?
Unfrozen. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you were telling us some of the horror stories getting to and from home and work. You were working on Saturday night, huh? Throughout the entire storm?
Sure was, and it was crazy. I mean, I think fortunately with all the snow warnings, you know, the emergencies out there, I think a lot of people were staying off the roads, which is good. Fortunately, then I had to drive home. And I was telling you during the break, I had the turnpike all to myself. It was fantastic. And then yesterday was a comedy of errors. And last night, 4 degrees when I got home.
Brutal. And surprise, surprise, it's going to rain later tonight, of all things. So after getting destroyed by snow over the weekend and freezing yesterday, now we're looking at raindrops a little bit later on tonight. You just never know what you're going to get up here. Well, we begin on a bit of a somber note, but you wrote a very nice piece on Jared Fedick, who passed away this past weekend in a snowmobile crash. And it's obviously a horrific story, just terrible, but a guy that was really seemed to be loved by everybody.
Yeah. Father, husband, loved his kids, loved his, you know, his, you know, his brother's kids. And I spoke with Dave Fedick, at length, and I thank him for his time. And send my condolences, to the entire family, a bunch of siblings in the family. Dave said that he's 15 years older than Jared, but more so than a brother, he was like his best friend, and just absolutely heartbreaking for the family. But good people shared. We laughed on the phone. I had a couple colleagues who are on the call with me who know the family, and we had a good discussion. It was good talking about Jared and talking about how he lived. You know, we say in the biz sometimes it's like we can read from the police reports and all that other kind of stuff about how somebody died, but we want to talk about how he lived, and we want to tell Lorain County stories, we want to tell Elyria stories, we want to tell people stories. So it was really nice, and I thought his I started off my lead on the story was his mantra was stay cool. And I thought that was really great that he would tell his niece and his nephew and younger kids he ran into, stay cool. And I thought that was really nice. Kind of speaks to the kind of guy he was. Devoted father, never missed a bath time with his son Max. Is the one thing that his brother said about him. So a lot of real tragic for the family. Unfortunately, they're left with a lot of memories, and there's going to be a lot of hard times ahead. But good people, and I thank them again for their time.
Stay cool. That's a mantra I think we can all certainly live by, right? Stay cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that, reading the article, stay cool, because that certainly seemed to be somewhat consistent throughout the story, and it was really the one thing it seemed like a lot of people remembered him by. Well, on a much, much lighter note, you wrote a story that Matt and I discussed a little bit yesterday, and I'm sure you had a lot of fun covering this and putting this together about Brandy Huffman, the elementary school teacher in Elyria, who was recognized by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Sounds like that was a lot of fun.
Surprise, surprise. Ms. Huffman was sitting in her classroom in her rocking chair with all her kindergarten students in front of her, and who walks in but Ahmad Crump and Sir Cece, and with a big old novelty check for $500, a swag bag with a Cavs shirt, Cavs hat. Free tickets, VIP passes, all you can eat. She was totally surprised, and had been nominated by a parent of a student, from a couple of years ago as one of the Cavaliers head of the class award winners. And they do this every month. They do a head of the class for a teacher, and they do an all-star kid for a student. And it's a really nice program. It's really cool, floor voice of the Cavaliers, Ahmad comes in with all that energy. Super nice guy. He said teachers are heroes, and he said they don't get enough recognition. So the Cavaliers wanted to reach out and do that and recognize, these fantastic teachers and these really, really great students, these all-star kids. And it was really neat to be there. And Ms. Huffman was completely surprised, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
So.
That's one of the things I kind of took from what you wrote. The idea that it's the parents of a student she had a couple of years ago, that she had that kind of an impact, that someone 2 years down the line or 3 years or whatever it was would say, you know what, she deserves this, and put her in for it. So it speaks, I think, to the teacher she is.
Absolutely, and it's really I think teachers make a big imprint on you. You know, mm-hmm. They really you see them sometimes more often, you know, more hours in a day than maybe you do your parents, depending on what your parents' schedules are and you know where you go and what you're doing. And so they have a real big impact. I got a lot of friends and family members who've been teachers in the past, and they deserve all the recognition. Sure. You know, that we can give them, and you know, kudos to the Cavaliers for doing that program.
So we've discovered, you know, how surprised she was and how cool she thought that was. How about the kids? Can you imagine how cool that had to be? Also, just kind of sitting there watching all that go down.
Oh, one of them tried on Sir CeCe's hat, and he disappeared into the floor. You know, it was like it was just putting it on, and you couldn't see it. You know, any of them. And they were, they were trying to push cookies on me and the photographers and other people who came to visit, and and taking selfies. And Miss Huffman, you know, obviously, you know, to her credit, got all her kids together and said, if I'm going to take a picture with Sir CeCe and Ahmad Crump, so are the kids. So that's all got in on it. It was really neat, and the kids are poking at, you know, CeCe's muscles, and it was a lot of fun. They were super excited. Good for them too.
Yeah, that's got to be a really awesome experience. Can you imagine that, being in kindergarten and all of a sudden you see Ahmad and you see Sir CeCe walk in there too? That gigantic check, that makes me think of that part in was it Happy Gilmore? I don't care. Give me one of those big ones. The big fake checks. It's good stuff. Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us here on our local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. And, boy, other nice, heartwarming stories throughout the course of the week. 25-year anniversary for the Elyria Public Library's West River Branch. Seems like the evolution of that has been pretty interesting.
It's still one of the first days I got here, somebody said, now they're going to call that the new library, you know. And it's, you know, it's been around long, you know, more than half my, you know, my life. But it's really nice. And actually, I feel kind of bad, because the first time I had walked in there was the other day during the ceremony, and then a nice cake and a whole, you know, I have a ream of paper worth of, historic, documents and kind of the life of the library. And I mean, they don't pull any punches from, you know, from the time there was a lawsuit over, they wanted to show Fahrenheit 9/11, the Michael Moore film, and, you know, and they put all the, you know, all the Levy passages and failures and everything. But they also had the good stuff, like the library director Lynn Krause said, you know, that tree in there is iconic. Every kid in Elyria has probably gone and sat at the Berenstain Bears treehouse tree in there, which was installed with the go ahead, with the say so of Stan and Jan Berenstain. And that's kind of neat that there's a thing there where, you know, our photographers go over there, you know, every once in a while and take pictures of kids reading underneath it. And they also had some just absolutely incredible facts, like the police on the day the library opened back in 1994 had to turn people away because the parking lot was full.
Wow.
They once found kittens in the outside drop box, in the materials drop box. I believe all three of them were adopted by library employees, and I think one is even still alive, is what Adam Matthews, their marketing communications guy, was telling me. Just a really nice program. You know, a lot of old photos, a lot of old Chronicle, Chronicle coverage. They have the Elyria history quilt in there. There's just all sorts of, you know, fascinating stuff. And I think, anybody who was a kid, you know, back then, even Adam was telling me that he went to school in Lorain, and they took a field trip from his school in Lorain to come see the new Elyria Library. Mm-hmm. It's like, that tells you how iconic that building is, and that it's, you know. And if you're just passing by and you don't see the signs, you might think, oh, it kind of looks like a, you know, like an office building. No, you go inside and it's like, this is a pretty cool library. I would have loved to have one like that as a kid. So,
yeah, no doubt about it. It's interesting just to hear all the stories from the last quarter century, to kind of see how it's all evolved as well. And we're going to get to your scanner calls in just a minute, because I'm sure you heard some pretty good ones, especially over the weekend. People are cooped up and people try driving that probably shouldn't in that storm. But before we get there, I want to get to some brief details on the paper saving initiative, which you wrote about, I think, a day or two after we had you on last week.
So the newest councilman on Elyria City Council, Mr. Tollett, Phil Tollett, came to the Utilities and Safety and Environment Committee and basically said, you know, I get a heck of a lot of paper, you know, doing this job. And he quoted a price that, you know, the council clerk's office spends, you know, $400+ on, you know, on reams of paper and everything for council members, and just prints out an awful lot of stuff, plus, you know, using staples and all that kind of thing. And he said, why not get a couple cheap tablets, cheap, you know, digital tablets like an Amazon Fire for $50, and why not just put all of our stuff on there, you know. Council members seem to be in favor of it. Again, this is a committee meeting, so it wasn't the whole of council who was voting on this. But they had some concerns about, well, what if we don't, you know, what if some of us aren't comfortable with the digital, you know, at this point, or, you know, we already have a display system. And if you've ever been in city council chambers, there is a large, you know, projection screen that they can pull down and shine, you know, and shine images on and everything. And they were saying, well, you know, why don't we use that as a, you know, so that we can see it, and some of our eyesight's not so great because some of us are aging, haha, you know, kind of some self-deprecating council humor there, and he said, you know, I just think this is a thing that we need to look at, and finally they just kind of decided to table it for a year, so we'll see what comes down the, you know, what comes down the pike. Some council members, you know, Jack Serra, you know, said he was going to try to use, you know, some more digital, you know, media, more precise, you know, more so for his council needs. And so we'll see where it goes. I mean, there was no flat decision made, you know, nothing's getting sent to full council. They're going to take a year and see if they can save some money. And I think, you know, it's an interesting way. It's a way that you can look at and say, okay, what do we do? How can we make it better? How can we be more efficient?
Interesting. All right. Well, only time will tell, I guess, but I think that's certainly an easy step that I think we can all certainly make, in our line of work especially. Let's get to those scanner calls, my man, because, again, I'm sure you probably saw plenty of them over the weekend, especially when you were in the office as the storm hit on Saturday night.
Well, you know, I think there were a lot of people who just kind of stayed home. So unfortunately, I don't have any really great ones from that time. I'll give you something else, and this is on behalf of the non-shutdown Northern District of Ohio U.S. Attorney, who recently a federal grand jury indicted a Westlake man, not only for illegally accepting food stamps at some Cleveland area gas stations, and having illegal weapons, but I didn't even know this was a crime, or a federal one to say the least. Operating an unlicensed slaughterhouse.
Jeez.
Wait, you can get a license for a slaughterhouse?
I would think you'd need one.
I would imagine that you'd need like the EPA or the FDA to come in and inspect
your
slaughterhouse,
like that.
Right?
It amazes me someone would want to run a slaughterhouse. I guess that's a little scary.
That's very scary. Yeah.
And I don't know where that meat was being sold or whatever, but apparently he was pouring a lot of the animal blood into a stream, so he caught a pollution charge on that one too. So it might not be a weird scanner call, but that was something that was tweeted out by you know, the U.S. Attorney's office, and I just thought that was unique enough that you guys might appreciate.
Yeah, that's like something out of a horror story right there.
That would be a good horror.
The river runs red. You come across this gentleman in his creepy garage.
Hey, there's your million dollar movie idea right there.
Kidding.
You know,
I got to put the screenplay together. Send that to Hollywood.
Wow, that's brutal. All right, well, hopefully. There's something a little lighter next week for us to talk about. We get to the scanner stories.
We'll see what cabin fever does to everybody this week. Oh, hopefully nothing too bad. Please be kind to each other.
Yes, indeed. Please. All right. Dave, a pleasure as always, my friend, and we'll have you in again next week.
Thank you very much, guys. You have a good one.
Thanks, Dave. You do the same again. Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us on our local beat is brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers, a trusted name in jewelry. Pay them a visit on Broad Street right across from the hospital here in Elyria. Stop by and you'll see why Vandermark Jewelers is a trusted name in jewelry.